Okay. So, the new Mishnah. Mishnah on Chav Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah says as follows. Af hu omer. Who are we talking about? I think we're on Rami Gamliel, aren't we? Yes, Rami Gamliel. Okay, Af hu omer. Shlomo is around the Hakel. He had three unique kulot. Mechavdin Beis Hamitos. He said you were allowed to sweep. You're allowed to sweep, right? These aren't your beds. These are like the couches where people would eat, right? They would eat Persian style. They were living in Persia, whatever. They were living in Babylonia, whatever. You know, they were eating on like mini couches. So around those bed-like couches, ring around your table, you're allowed to sweep. You're allowed to sweep. That's his halacha.
I assume we're talking about Shabbos.
Yeah. We're talking about Yom Tov. Umanichen es hamugmar bi Yom Tov, and you can use this incense on Yom Tov. Avosin gedima kulos b'lelip sochem, and you're allowed to make a roast a goat that looks like a carbon pasach, right? Where the knees are in, you know, it's in the fetal position, you put the, you know, everything you do with the carbon pesach, you're allowed to do that. Chom otsrim. So, we have these three halachas we're going to have to take up in this, from this Mishnah to the next Mishnah. The first one we're going to take up is this sweeping issue. So, just to see the Gemara first, the Gemara says, Amar Ravasi machlokas legamer, so this is first, it skips around a little bit, we're going to come back, we're going to do it in the order of the Mishnah. Shavasi said the machlok is only to do mugmar, but al-riach the rekol mutter. So the difference between these we'll come back to, what exactly those are, but again, we'll come back to that. That's really the second case in our vision. I mean, this is in Meisvei. Ein mechal beisa mitos b'yom tov, right? So the Tanakama here holds you aren't allowed to sweep around the food area on Yom Tov. Vishal Rabbi Gamliel mechabden, but Rabbi Gamliel permitted it. And Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok pam harbe nechazi achar abba the base Rabbi Gamliel. Many times I went to the house of Rabbi Gamliel with my father. A person who lands sadin in the machar. What are you talking about? They never swept the house. What are you talking about? What they used to do is they would sweep it before Yom Tov, and then they would put a mat, a sheet on top of it, and when the guests would come out, they would take off the sheet, and you know, magic, the floor is swept. He said, that's really great, except right, the assumption here is that Gamliel says this is only mutter on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos. And if all you're doing is you're picking up your rug so that, you know, it's clean underneath, there's no possible Isra with that. That would have been mutter on Shabbos. That can't be what he was forbidding.
So what
are we even talking about, right? So that's the question we have to deal with. What is the Isra? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, doesn't say anything. Did you quote it? No, okay. So then,
maybe.
No, you're right, he doesn't say it. Okay.
The Chom Osrim.
Why would you say it was Osir? So the Bishloshtan, all three of them, they are Osir. Why? Bikibud Mishum Ishuye Gumos. So this is based on the Gemara and Shabbos, we'll see in a moment. The problem was they used to have dirt floors. Right, so our floors, you sweep the floor, all you do is, assuming you actually successfully sweep, you get the dirt off the floor. But if you have a dirt floor, right, so there end up being holes in the floor. When you sweep it, you fill in the holes. Right, you're actually right smoothing down the floor. And that might be a problem because, right, Ashuya Gumos, you are taking a hole. Right? If you make a hole, that's a problem of bona. If you destroy a hole, right? Soser, it's makapathis, whatever exactly it is, right? Soser. So that is a problem. If you look at the sources, I gave you the Gemara. I don't know. Why don't I put the Torah first? I don't know. Probably just for summary, but let's look at the Gemara first. So the Gemara, number two, this is where it comes from. We're in Shabbos, as is follows. Tan Rabbanon, ha'chole v'amechabez v'amechaben gergergores. If you make, right, if you, you know, you milk, you make cheese. All of that, amachabed, v'amirabed, or you sweep the floor, or mirabed is where you put water on the floor. It's not really mopping. And they have dirt floors, right? The purpose of mopping for us is to clean the floor. That's not what it is for them. Purpose of putting water on the floor is so that if it's a particularly dry day, and it's, it gets really dusty, so then the dust starts flying around. So you put water on the floor and it keeps it solid. Or you take down a honeycomb. So shagag b'shabbos, if you do it by accident on Shabbos, chayv chatos, which means that this is a malacha d'oraisa, according to this position, which we'll see in a moment is Rabbi Eliezer. Hated b'yom tov, and therefore if you do it on yom tov, loke arbaim. Right, you get malchus because it's also mi d'oraisa, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachom omrim, echot zeh, elan mishum shvos. V'chachom omrim saying, no, all of these are only d'rabbanan. So the right, so this braisa tells us, among other things, you aren't allowed to sweep your floors on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. And the you have a right machlokes here that Rabbi Elazar thinks it is d'oraisa, right? And the Chachamim think it's d'rabbanan.
You're allowed to make cheese on Shabbos?
But you're not allowed to make cheese.
No, but they're saying it may not be an issur d'oraisa to make cheese on Shabbos.
So great. According to the Chachamim, it wouldn't be d'oraisa, possibly. Okay. So the Gemara then continues, Amemar Shara Zilcha bin Machoza. So he used to put this, water on the floor. So Amar Time Mayam Rabbanan, Damasila Shavi Gomos, Acha Lecha Gumos, right? He used to do this on he had like tiled floors, I guess. Is it the best way?
Fancy city.
Yeah, I mean it's a fancy city, but it's like a tiled floor. So Gemara says, right, he said it was fine because there were no holes, it was, whatever, tiled. Rava Tosva, Ashkad Ravina, Kamitsar Mehavla, Marmalim Rakshisha, Brazil Rav, Ashkad Ravashi, Kamitsar Mehavla, Marlela, Sovamar, Tanya, Rotel Ravid, Beza Bishabas, Mavia Raven, Lay Mime, Rokhispan of Bizavazu, Yada Bizavazu, Raglav Bizavazu, and Minimsa, Habayas, Miss Rabbis, May Love, Amarle, Lava di Toy. So he came in and he was really bothered by all the dust in the house. And he said, well, don't you know that there's a solution, right? You aren't allowed to just pour water on the floor, but what you are allowed to do is do other things that'll make the floor wet. So, for example, you can go to one corner of your house and wash your hands and feet, and go to another corner of the house and you can wash your face, and, the water will, a little bit will drip, and slowly the house will, the dust will settle. So why don't you just do that? So he said, you're right, I could have, but I didn't think about it. Tana isha chachama merabetes beis b'Shabbos, and a wise woman, this is how she will be able to do it on Shabbos. And then the Gemara says, veha idna, but nowadays, desfir lan kirabi shimon, shari afilu lechadchila. It's mutter even chadchila. So the Gemara gives us three possibilities, right? Sweeping your dirt floor on Shabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer says, it is asr mid'araisa. The chachamim say, it's asr mid'arabanan. And the third stage in the Gemara is that once you paskin, like Rabbi Shimon, it is mutter lechatchila. So this is what we want to do, is try to figure out what exactly is the nature of this iser. Why would it be asr midaraisa? Why would it be asr midarabanan?
Why would it be mutter?
Why would it be mutter, right? Okay, so as we said, the problem here is that if you're sweeping, and you're sweeping a dirt floor and there are holes, so it's bonan, right? You're going to fill up the holes, and that's going to be bonan. So, why would you think, now on the one hand, it might be bonav, on the other hand, right, the problem is, right, well, I mean, you're filling a guma, right, the opposite, making gumas aser, filling a gumas aser. So here's the question, right, is that, that's not your intention isn't to fill up the holes, your intention is to sweep, right, you got food on the floor, you want to sweep it up.
So
the Gemara's conclusion is that, so, right, in order to understand this, we need background, right? There's a machlokas, fundamental machlokas, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon thinks, malacha shen zichol gufa, I'm sorry, davar shen miskaven is mutter. If something is not inevitable and unintentional, then it's permitted. Rabbi Huda says, if it's non-intentional, even if it's not inevitable, then it is forbidden. But the Gemara says that even Rabbi Shimon agrees that moder, Rabbi Shimon be psik resha. That if it's inevitable, even if it's unintentional, so then it's asur mid'araisa. Right? That's psikresha.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have three positions in the Gemara. So why would you So clearly the third position of the Gemara, which says that it's mutar l'chatchila, assumes on a mitzvah level, on a reality level, that it's not psik reisha, it's not inevitable. And two, therefore it's only a davar sheino mitkaven, right? It's an unintended consequence of what you're doing, and it's not inevitable. And two, we paskin like Rav Shimon that if it's not intentional and not inevitable, that it's mutar, right? That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Now, why would you say it's chayav? Right? Or why would you say it's usur? So here, there's multiple possibilities. Right? It could be that they're arguing about the halacha, namely, they paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and not like Rabbi Shimon and think that it is a that davar sheino mitkaven is usur. Or they could be arguing on a reality level and saying, no, it's a psik reisha. Right? So the different stages in the Gemara can either be arguing on the reality level, meaning is it or is it not inevitable? And if it's inevitable, then even Rav Shimon should be osir. Or are they arguing, no, it's not inevitable, we're arguing about whether or not something which is unintentional but not inevitable is that osir. So that is going to be some of the discussion that we see in the Rishonim. We're also going to see, I mean, if you just look ahead, right, I didn't know how to summarize this in any way except for doing this. Like, there's a million positions. So all I did was I gave you the base. Like, in the end of the day, all I did was I gave you the base Yosef. And the base Yosef gives you seven different understandings of the sugya. So without even going anywhere, like, that was really where you get all the positions. But those are the basic issues that you have to see, even just from the Gemara, without getting into the details. And the other Gemara you have to see is the Gemara number 4, says Amar Rabbi Yama, Amar Rabbi Chia Barashi, Amar Rav Machbedos Shil Milsa Mutzal Talpun B'Shabbos Aval Shil Tamara Lo. So you're not allowed to use a date palm, right, a lulav branch broom on Shabbos. Lazar Amar Av Shil Tamara. Lazar does allow you to lose this lulav one. Now this sounds like the reason you can't sweep on as the Rishonim will note on Shabbos is not because of Malacha, it's because of Muktzah. Right, the problem is the broom, right? Or either it's mukta, or as some of the Rishonim will say, it's a problem because the broom leaves fall off, right? So it's not a problem of the floor, it's a problem of the broom. So we have to figure out what this mukta / gzeira that the branches might break has to do with the sweeping. Because if you aren't allowed to sweep, then obviously you aren't allowed to pick up a broom. It's useless. So how do you work it all together? Okay.
And why is it just a broom of... palm fronds and not broom made of something else, like horsehair or whatever.
Well, there are other things, right? That's the shel milsa, right? That you can use. These are sort of tougher materials that won't break, or whatever, non-breakable materials, less breakable materials.
Which means that it has nothing to do with the
sugya. Well, that's exactly what the Rishon tried to figure out, is yeah. Right? Our, the sugya in Shabbos, second Beitza, seem to assume it's a problem of malacha, right? Bone, whatever it is, here... seems to be an issue of mukta. So what? Right. So how exactly do we take this? If you look at Tosfos here, number 3, so Tosfos says the Macham Amarav. It's Tema. The Alkoch Myrid the law of a psik reisha sheyesh v'gumot. By the end of the sugya, when it says that according to Reb Shimon is mutter, we see that this must be assuming that smoothing out the holes is not inevitable, right? Because Reb Shimon agrees that inevitability is aser. Right, so must be the alkoch myri the law of ipsik reisha yishvegumot the ipsik reisha aichishar lekamad Reb Shimon lachachila, because if it was psik reisha Reb Shimon would not permit it. Amod Reb Shimon ipsik reisha velo yamos the cave and the law of ipsik reisha my mechayev Reb Elazar. But the Gemara says wait a second. Tosfos says wait a second. According to Reb Elazar, why is it aser? Meaning, if it's not inevitable, then nobody could possibly say it's aser midaraisa. Reb Yehuda just says aser midarabanan. You can't be chayev for something which is eino miskavein. So Rilazar, how could Rilazar say it's chayiv? I understand the Chachamim says it's osur, because they're assuming that it's davar sheino miskaven, and the first stage of the Gemara we're passing like Rabbi Yehuda, the davar sheino miskaven is osur midrabbanan. But how could Rilazar say it's chayiv chatos? If it's a case, if the assumption is that it's not inevitable, then no one can say that it's osur midaraisa. Because Amar beperak Amar lema mamunu gabei tseiruf hashashios to davar sheino miskaven mutl Rabbi Yehuda minat Torah d'lo velechaz machreves. Because it's explicit that if it's davar sheino miskaven, not psik reishos, Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's derabbanan, it's also me derabbanan, Rabbi Shimon thinks it's mutar lechatchila, but how can anybody think it's biblically aser? So Tosfos answers, as we already intuited, v'yesh lomar debaha pligi. That's exactly the argument. So he said there's two machlokot going on simultaneously. There's a halachic machlokes about davar shem miskaven psik reisha, and the mitzvahs machlokes about whether this is inevitable or not. So you get three deos in the Gemara. Day one is Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says that when you sweep on Shabbos, you inevitably will fill in the hole. And therefore, according to him, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon will say it doesn't mean the right to sweep your dirt floor on Shabbos because you will definitely, right? Okay. The Chachamim say it's not inevitable, but they paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore they say it's usher mi derabbanan because it's a davar sheino miskaven. The third day in the Gemara is the stama de Gemara, which is it's weighing in, it's paskining like the Chachamim on the reality, namely that it's a davar sheino miskaven and not a psik resh. I mean, it's not inevitable, and therefore they're paskining like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore saying if we paskin the Chachamim on the mitzvos and then we paskin like Rabbi Shimon in the davar sheino miskaven machlokes, so it's not inevitable. It's a davar sheino miskaven. Therefore, it is mutter because we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and those are the three stages that you get in the Gemara, right? Rabbi Elazar thinks it's both inevitable and we pask, and therefore it's also according to everybody. The middle position is the Chachamim within Rabbi Yehuda, and the third position is the Stam of the Gemara within Rabbi Shimon. Now, Joseph notes, we don't know what Rabbi Shimon would hold on the reality level, right? Meaning, this is not saying that Rabbi Shimon would say it's mutter, it's that Rabbi Shimon's Shita would say it's mutter if you hold it's not inevitable. He may have held it's inevitable, in which case he would agree with the realizer. It doesn't matter. The point is that the final day in the Gemara combines one position about the reality, one position about the halacha, to generate a position that it is mutter. And that is the position of Tosfos. And that is, honestly, the simplest read of the Gemara, right? You get three stages, Asur Midaraisa, Asur Midrabanan, mutter, right? So we go from Psik Reisha to Davar Shein Miskaven according to Rabbi Yehuda to Davar Shein Miskaven according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, as simple as that read of the Gemara is, the huge problem that it leaves us with is, right, is, well, in our Gemara, right, in our Gemara, the Chachamim forbid sweeping on Yom Tov, right? Meaning, according to this analysis, in the end of the day, there should be no stamma de Gemara that's saying it's usher. Meaning, right, the Gemara, you could say the Chacham in the Mishnah or the Chacham in the Mishnah. They're the same Chachamim in Shabbos. But the Gemara in Beitza assumes, like the stamma of the Chachamim, that it's usher against Rabbi Gamliel. Right? But if our sugya is identical to sugya in Shabbos, that means that Rabbi Gamliel says it's mutter and is paskening the way the Gemara in Shabbos paskens, but the psak of the Gemara in Shabbos is its mutter, like Rabbi Gamliel, and the psak of the Gemara in Beitza is like the Chachamim against Rabbi Gamliel, right? So on the one hand, it's really simple to say that to follow Tosfos' analysis. The problem with Tosfos' analysis is it doesn't answer the Gemara in Beitza, which assumes not like Rabbi Gamliel, but like Shimon, which, as we'll see, will be one of the driving forces for the Baalei HaTosfos to say that the Gemara in Beitza is not identical to the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Beitza has nothing to do with the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Beitza has to do, well, it does, but not that Gemara in Shabbos, the next Gemara we saw that dealt with the Muktzah issues of the broom, right? So, at first glance, our Gemara seems identical to the sweeping issue in the Amdas Tadihei, but because the Gemara's conclusions are so radically different, it may be that the Gemara is not functioning on that plane, and that's really the problem that all of the Rishonim are struggling with, and that's why you get this Beis Yosef with seven different answers to how to deal with this question. So let's, before we get to that, we'll go back to source one, which I gave as the summary, just to bring us back together, right, because even just getting this is complicated. This sugya makes me dizzy. Like, it takes me a few times, every time I go through it, just to get my bearings. The tour summarizes. He says like this: Kol davar she'eino miskaven mutter. Right? Anything which is unintentional and not inevitable is permitted. What does that mean? Hilkach gar adam mita kisei v'savsal. So therefore, you can drag a bench, a chair, ben gudolim ben miktanim uvatchel iskaven lasos charitz, as long as you're not intending to dig a ditch. I will kol psik reisha v'lo yamos. But anything which is inevitable, Now, just parenthetically, right, what does Psik Reish V'lo Yamut actually mean? Right, meaning it means cut off the head will not die. Now, everybody knows the very bizarre pshat of Rashi and Tosos, but, you know, it has its benefits over the other pshat, which is, what does it mean? That if someone says they used to play with chicken heads, right, kids used to play with chicken heads, and someone says, look, I want to give a chicken head to my son to play with, so I'm going to cut off the chicken head. I shechita a melacha on Shabbos, but I don't want to shecht it, I don't want to kill it, I just want the head, right? So shouldn't it be mutter for me to cut off the head? I don't care about shechting it. So we say, no, psik reisha v'lo yamos, right? You're going to cut off the head and it's not going to die. Of course it's going to die. So if you want the head, you must mean that you're going to, you know, shecht it. It's inevitable. Rabbi Nechananel quotes the other position, the Aruch quotes this as well, that the Gaonim had a different interpretation. They said this has nothing to do with the chicken, right? This has to do with human beings, right? The argument goes like this, right? The Gemara, the way the Aruch and the Rosh Hashanah say it is, no one would accept the following argument: if a murder, if a highway robber, right, came and said, "Look, I killed the guy, but not because I wanted to kill the guy. I wanted to rob the guy, but he wouldn't give me his money, right? So I cut off his head. I don't want him dead, but I'm not a murderer. I'm a thief." Right? So we say to him, Psik Reisha V'lo Yamos, right? I don't care what you wanted to do, you cut off his head, right? You cut off his head, he died, right? No one would accept that as a defense in court, that I was only a robber and I just happened to, you know, cut off his head to take his money. Anyways, okay, so that's what Psik Reisha means. Whatever it means it's inevitable. So Perish, Avu B'Shem V'Chavin La'Sosa, even if you don't mean to do it, E'evsher Shlo Yase, it won't be that it won't happen. So therefore, Oster. So therefore, Hilkach Motul the Rabbi Tabayit. So he said, what should the conclusion be? Therefore, on the basic Gemara and Shabbos, that lahalacha we should paskin that it's mutter to sweep and mutter to put down this water. Right? Came Jim is chavin lahashvus gumos elishloyala haavak v'abahag hitir gamkin lechaber abayit b'chomakom. And therefore, the Bahag just took the analysis of the Gemara and Shabbos. Paskin like Rav Shimon and says, Pshu doge mashmao. The conclusion of the Gemara is you're allowed to sweep because the only reason you couldn't sweep is if either you thought it was a psik reisha or you paskin like Rav Yehuda. We neither think it's a psik reisha nor do we think like Rav Yehuda, and therefore there's no issue to sweep and therefore the sugya is over. And that's the Bahag's conclusion, that we accept the conclusion of the Gemara and Shabbos, no questions asked. The Harambam Zal, the Rambam says no. Hit the b'makom harmirutzav. He only allowed it in a place which is tiled. V'asar k'sheinu merutzav. But he forbade it if it was not tiled. V'chilek v'sicha. Shekazav ein tzachan akarkam amdichan oso. V'afilu merutzav. Gzeira atur sheinu merutzav. De'asu lashri egumos. And he says, why is that true? It's a gzeira derabanan. You're not allowed to sweep on a, but then the sicha, that was only for sweeping. But then sicha, actually putting down like a, you know, cream on the floor. So then he says, that you can't do even on a tiled floor because of a gzera that you might do it in an untiled floor, right? So the Rambam rules that la halacha, you can sweep a tiled floor, but you can't sort of like mop, even on a tiled floor, because you might end up doing it on a untiled floor.
What would your problem doing it on an untiled floor? To mop or something
like that? Gzeira atu. Right, the gzeira because of, and again, we're going to have to analyze this, then we have to get to halachol maisa, which is, right, I mean, this is a great chomer. I told her this is the best chomer in the world, right? We should just, there are, as we'll see, there will be positions to say that even mizman hazeh, you can't sweep. Right, it's the greatest thing. Right, people come in your house and shop. It's not my fault. You're not allowed to. It's usher. We're just very machmir. We paskin. You can't sweep. You can't do anything on Shabbos. Right? It's not normally like this. You know.
You shouldn't be able to sweep during the week because you may come to sweep on Shabbos.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the ultimate.
Somebody actually holds that way.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I don't think anyone. There are pshito that would emerge that way. I shouldn't say no one. I'm sure there is somebody somewhere who doesn't sweep. That's fine.
So I guess they don't clean their kitchen, their dining room table either. From crumbs. That's got to be definitely up.
Aren't there muksa issues with that?
There are muksa issues. There's so many issues. Okay. So that's the Rambam. Viri, Osar gam hakibud b'chol makom. But the Ri forbade even sweeping anywhere. And we'll have to see why, because that seems to be against the Gemara on Shabbos, right? V'adoni yavei arosh zal kosev b'tshuva she'ela al kibud noagin istur v'ashkenaz u'v'eretz hazot somchen al devei rav ilfas v'lomani libi la'osro lahem kilo yom shomen li. And the Rosh says that in Ashkenaz, the minog was not to sweep. They paskin it was usher to sweep, and we'll see why. The Rif thought it was mutter. When the Rosh moved to Spain, he found out that people did sweep, and he just wasn't able to get them to stop. Because they rely on the Rif. So lama esos on mizidin. So why should I change them into mazes and tell them they shouldn't paskin on the Rif? Okay. The Torah tells you that the Bahag followed the simple analysis of the Gemara and Shabbos and said, okay, we paskin on the Rosh Hashanah, we think it's not psik reisha, therefore it's just mutter to sweep. The Rambam has a more complicated position. Tosfos answers it completely, right? We got to figure out how do we get from the Gemara and Shabbos to the fact that some Rishonim still think it's usher, and two is how do we get from the Gemara and Shabbos, which assumes it's mutter, to the Gemara and Beitza, which assumes it's usher, right? And it's that tension, right? Mm-hmm. It's that tension between the Gemaras that generate the positions that lead to some of these positions we have in the Torah. So, look at the Beis Yosef. I don't know how many we'll get through, but we'll get through as many as we can. Carefully. There are no less than 7 different ways of understanding how this sugya plays out. And this is why this sugya gets me dizzy every time. So, cause of Aran. Number 1. Cause of Aran v'perek ha-matzniya. Dehad etznan v'perek sheni diyomto. The Ran said, wait a second. Why in Beitz, on our Gemara, does it say, da'af hu ayomer shol shedvaram lo hakel, mechadzen ben amitos v'chamim osrim. Right. Why is it Osir? So, cause of Arif, Bechuva, Man Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda, Velo Kaimelon Kavase. Answer 1 is no. The Gemara and Beitza and the Gemara and Shabbos are totally and completely reconcilable. The Gemara in Beitza is the rejected position of the Chachamim in Shabbos. And yes, we paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. The Gemara in Beitza, the anonymous Chachamim are the same anonymous Chachamim in Shabbos that paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that even things which are Davarshein and Miskaven are Asur. But therefore, as we learn the Gemara on Shabbos, if you paskin like Rav Shimon, you're allowed to sweep. So yes, even though the simple implication of the Gemara in Beitza is that Rav Gamliel is a Shitas Yachid, and we paskin like the Chachamim, the Rif just says it's not true. Right? Just like in the Gemara and Shabbos, there was this anonymous Chachamim, and who we conclude is just our positions who hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So that's who's talking in Beitza. Period. End of story. It's very simple, right? It looks like there's a contradiction. There's no contradiction. The only tension is that our Gemara presents from Gamliel as if he is the minority position rather than the majority position. But he says that's not such a big deal, right? We know that there were a lot of people who passing like Rabbi Yehuda and the Gemara and Shabbos. They were also called the Chachamim. So it's very simple. Rabbi Elazar thinks it's also Midoraisa, who thinks it's Psik Reisha. The Chachamim, both in the Gemara and Shabbos and in the Gemara and Beitza, think it's a Davarshein and Miskaven, but we passing like Rabbi Yehuda and it's Asur. But Rabbi Gamliel in the Gemara and Beitza, and the way we passing in the Gemara and Shabbos, is that it's neither inevitable, nor do we passing like Rabbi Yehuda, therefore it's an unintentional, non-inevitable consequence of sweeping is smoothing out holes, and therefore we don't have to worry about it, and therefore it's mutter, and therefore we don't have to worry about it. The sugya just goes out the window. The sugya in Beitza, we just don't paskin like chum, paskin like gamliel. That's it.
That's a funny way to write the Gemara.
Yes, it is. It is a very funny way to write the Gemara, but it's smooth. It's a little bit of a weird way, but conceptually, right, there's not much work you have to do conceptually, right, to be miyashiv it. It just means that the Rif thinks that the Gemara in Beitza wasn't as forthcoming as it should have been. That's basically, now that's a problem, but conceptually it's not hard to understand. Like, the textual problem stares at you, right, which is the Gemara in Beitza presents this as a majority view, not a minority view. But conceptually, it's smooth as anything. He just says, it's very simple.
Right. Are there other examples in Shas where they reconcile apparently contradictory Gemaras in the same fashion, or is this sort of...
This happens sometimes, especially Svardim, right? Svardim like the Rif, are much more into this idea. They're very into rules, like, halacha, like sugya b'mkoma, right? That the main sugya is what's critical. The main sugya and the main mesechta. So Beitza is about Yom Tov, right? Shabbos is about Shabbos. So the main sugya is going to be in Shabbos, not in Beitza. Beitza is just, right, it comes up sort of parenthetically. So for the Rif, they're very into things like, okay, so the Gemara in Shabbos, the main sugya, the Gemara in Beitza is like a, you know, it's like an afterthought. So whatever, it's not as forthcoming. It's not as forthcoming, big deal.
Okay, but based on that reason, are we saying that, you know, all three things that Rabbi Gamaliel is saying, halacha is like him?
Not necessarily, right? Just this one.
Okay, but, I mean, that makes that type of read more difficult, because now you're picking and choosing.
Yeah, but he doesn't care, because, again, these are three halachas that come up, derech agav.
Right.
You know, like I said, the textual problem for the Rif is a problem, right? Is that our Gemara doesn't say anything. But once you get past that hurdle, right, meaning once you get past the fact that our Gemara just isn't forthcoming, and you're okay with that, right, the Rif is smooth, you know, like he has a smooth way of reading it sort of conceptually. He doesn't have to make up new chilukim. He just superimposes the Gemara in Beitza and the Gemara in Shabbos. The only difference is that the Gemara in Beitza seems to conclude differently than the Gemara in Shabbos, but it's not the only time in Shas we have stiras asugyas, and we just paskin like another sugya. Like, it's not. I mean, we could say a bunch of things, right? We could say that maybe the Gemara in Shabbos really did think that it was, you know, the Gemara in Shabbos really did think the Beitza really did paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or, you know, or we could say it's the stum of the Gemara, right? Meaning, it is the stum of the Gemara, right? It could just be, yeah, the stum of the Gemara is a later ascension. Right, it's the whatever, it's the last, whatever exactly the stamas are written in the time of the Savurayim, if they existed, whatever that is, right, in that period, right, it's the Gemara talking. So it could be in a Hanami. Maybe there, you know, if the stama didn't make it into Beitza, that's not the biggest Kiddush in the world. Sometimes the, you know, I know you're doing this with the, you know, but if you, right, if you're sensitive to that last sort of strata of the Gemara, so, okay, so maybe we didn't have the, you know, so the Gemara in Beitza didn't have the line of the Stam. It just had the Machlokas Tanoim. The Gemara in Shabbos had the line of the Stam. Or whatever, we can. So it's solvable. It's not like crazy. And it's not just a riff, as the Ron notes. Kosova Rava Magid, the Magid Mishnah says, Shkin Gassar Ramban, Harajba. Right, so it's the riff, it's the Rajba, it's the Ran. Right, it's a Machobot group of Rishonim who take this. The Kosova Ran, Berek Sheni de Yom Tov, Vichitem of Areum, Mikomako, Mazes of Mikomo, Kamemer, the Tilt Monotado, Dovracher, Shemikov Yom Tov, Viti Ru. And the Ran says, why isn't it going to be a problem of Mukta? As we'll see, some of the Rishonim bring up Mukta. He says, that's not Mukta. Big deal, it's dirt. So maybe it is Mukta, right? It's Eitzim Vavanim, except the halacha is that it's only, you know, Mukta is most problematic when you pick it up, not if you're Metaltal Menatad, right? You are hitting it from the side. What is sweeping, right? You're not picking up the dirt. I mean, we do. We pick it up on whatever, you know, we pick it up on the
whatever
it is. But Saran just says, you know, basically there's this whole group of Rishon, the Rif, the Ramban, the Rashba, who just assume that the way to Mimiyashi of the steer is to assume that just like we know there's a machlokas in Shabbos, there's a machlokas in Beitza. In Beitza, it looks like we paskin like the Chacham against Rami Gamliel. It's wrong. We paskin like Rami Gamliel against the Chachamim because he follows the Stam of the Gemara in Shabbos. Period. End of story. Very neat.
And did we say that Rif says it's mutter?
It's mutter. Right? Therefore, it's mutter, right? If that's if that's your conclusion, then the only potential issue here is Ashvuye Gumos. Rabbi Lazar think you're inevitably going to be mashma gumos, therefore it's tikration asr midah raisa. The chachamim in both sugyas say it's not inevitable, but we pass on Rabbi Yehuda, so it's asr midah rabbanan, and Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon, or the stamat gemara, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, in Shabbos say it's not inevitable, we pass on Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter. If that's the case, there's no other issues you have to introduce. The only potential issue is ashvuye gumos, we got rid of it, and therefore you're allowed to sweep, and we're done. Right? And as the Torah said, that's all the position of the Bahag. Right?
Right.
Right? Yeah. So it's the Bahag, it's the Rif, it's the Ramban, it's the Rashba, right? It's a Mechubad, very Mechubad group of Rishonim. It's the Ran. Fine. That's possibility one. But many Rishonim didn't take that. So you look at Bet. Avalatosas veharash, the Ashkenazi Rishonim, as the Rush already told, the Torah already told you, didn't like this. The Ashkenazi Rishonim thought it was Usher, because they said, Kasu, Bamatsniya, the Kibud Vade Usher, Kdamasa Parakola Kalim, the chashiv machbedu shel tamara milachton leisermanesha asu yos lachabed memes abayis vafilo Reb Shimon asu lachabed abayis memenesha mezes offerim kombo. Tosva says no. I have a different way of solving this gemara, and that's by introducing the gemara in number four, right? That we saw the sweeping gemara. The gemara in Shabbos is talking about an issa d'oraisa of mashve gumos. On the level of the d'oraisa question of mashve gumos, the Gemara had concluded that it is mutter, because we paskin grup shimon. But the Gemara on Kuf Chav Dalet that forbade you from sweeping with a, you know, with a broom of tamara, it doesn't explain why it's usher. Tosfos assumes that why is it usher? Because even if it would have been mutter because of mashve gumos, it's usher, not like the Ran, it's usher because of muksa, because dirt is like etzem v'avanim, dirt is useless, right? Your crumbs of food on the floor are useless, unless you're feeding them to your dog or something, right? They're useless. If they're useless, it's a problem of muksa. So how then do you solve the Gemara in Beitza? Very simple, right? The Gemara in Shabbos, Tzadihei, was talking about the Isser D'Oraisa. The Gemara wasn't redressing the mukta problem. On Shabbos, it's usur because of mukta. Reuben Gamliel is makil on mukta on Yom Tov. And the Chachamim are machmir on mukta on Yom Tov. And therefore, the Chachamim in Beitza say it's usur, right? And therefore, it's usur on Shabbos and Yom Tov, lahalacha, but midirabanan because of mukta, not because of mashre gumos. And Reuben Gamliel says it's mutter because he's not worried about mukta on Yom Tov. Because Yom Tov is more makil anyways, because it's not, right, it's not an Isser Skila, it's an only Isser Lav, and therefore Mukta we waive it Bechlal, even though Mukta is sometimes more Machmir on Yom Tov, but whatever, that Tosfos' analysis.
Okay. I'm getting a little confused. You're still saying that Chachamim here and Chachamim in Shabbos are two different Chachamim.
Correct, they're just talking about two different questions. I mean, Chachamim can always be different people.
Right.
Right. But what Tosfos introduces is that it's not that they're different people, they're just talking about different sugyas.
Two different cases.
Right. I mean, well, no, same case. No. Two different parts of it, right? Meaning, now, the textual problem with Tosfos is the itemization, right? Is that you would expect, right, the atomization, rather, right, is that the Gemara in Shabbos is talking about, can you sweep your floor? And the Gemara concludes, yes, you're allowed to sweep your floor l'chatchila. According to Tosfos, that's a lie. That's just a downright lie. It's, you're allowed to sweep your floors l'chatchila from the vantage point of mashve gumos. But from the vantage point of Mukta, everyone agrees that it's Asher Midrabbanan, right? Right? The problem with Tosfos is that the Gemara and Shabbos Tzadihei just didn't seem to imagine that we should tell you that we say Mukta, we really mean Asher, just for a different reason that we didn't introduce.
Well, but he could be holding, in the Shabbos, he could be holding like Rabbi Gamliel, which is not...
Assuming Rabbi Gamliel says it on Shabbos, but there's no reason to assume he says it on Shabbos because he says it on Yom Tov. Right? And that's what we'll see is that many of the Rishon will say, yeah, he only means that on Yom Tov, right? And we don't pass along anyways. So the textual problem with Tosfos and the Rosh, right? The problem with the textually for the Rif was the total silence of.
If he's Machir and Yom Tov, what's the principle?
No, it's just. It's Derabanan. And it's Yom Tov, it's Mormekel, whatever it is. I mean, we'll see.
Even on Shabbos we have a Derabanan here.
Correct. But, you know, it's already a Derabanan, so maybe we're Mormekel and Yom Tov or something like that.
Well,
so the Rif has no textual problem. I mean, sorry, it has no conceptual problem, just has a textual problem, which is that the Gemara in Beitza is not forthcoming enough. Tosfos and the Rosh have a similar problem, but not with the original Gemara in Shabbos. Right, that Gemara is not forthcoming, because that Gemara says it's mutter, by which we mean usser, right? By which we mean usser just for mukta and not because of mashra gumos, right? That's the problem with Tosfos and the Rosh. Now, in turn, they solve the Gemara and Beitza problem, right? So the Rif has no problem with Beitza. Well, the Rif has a textual problem with Beitza that is not forthcoming. The Tosfos is a problem with the Gemara and Shabbos that is not forthcoming, right? Each of them have that textual problem. The Rif doesn't introduce any other factors. He just says the only issue is mashre gumos, and the question was how explicit you were about it. Tosfos, to solve the problem, introduces this notion of mukta, which he understands from the Gemara in Shabbos Kol Chav Dalet about the broom. Now, if it's only Derabanan, this is just Gimel, the Rama just says that maybe this is only for a Jew, but because of Od B'Shem Rama, the Goya Mechabed is Abayit in Limchos Biyata. But if you have your non-Jewish help, sweeping on Shabbos, and that would be fine, because either it's mukta, so it's not a big deal, or it's a suffik who we paskin like, so one, as we'll see, some of the achronim will say this, it's a suffik who we paskin like, and since if it's a suffik, and a derabanan will be make on miral and achri, or whatever it is, okay, fine.
I don't really from left field.
Yes. I could give you a million shittas, or I could give you the Beis Yosef and go one, two, three.
How does the Rambam fit into that shitta, though?
We have not even gotten to the Rambam because the Rambam is a nightmare. Right? The Rambam is on page, is on the second side. The Rambam, if you think this is complicated, the Rambam is going to be so complicated. I mean, whatever. Sort of. So complicated. It's going to be bad. I mean, not bad. It's going to be interesting.
In Gemara and Shabbos, you had a two different...
Which one? We have three Gemaras.
Number four.
Yeah, okay, number four.
Okay, the original Gemara.
No, he's not talking about...
Okay,
right.
Which one is Tosfos going on? Number three or number
Tosfos
four?
Tosfos is using number four to interpret number two and solve the one beta.
So number four, there are two types of brooms.
Yes.
And one is permissible. And one
I don't know. I don't know why one type of broom... If it's a problem, as we'll see, of breaking the broom...
That can be one permissible.
Yeah, I don't get it. I agree with you. That's the textual problem is that, as we'll see, some people will say it's a problem with breaking the broom. If that's a problem, fine. But if it's made enough, it's not. I'm not totally.
And it has nothing to do with.
Yes, I'm not totally.
I just don't understand how he's able to make the muktzah concept.
Yeah, I'm not.
One broom is permissible.
I'm not totally clear on that because I don't.
Does anyone take a different approach? Say, I'm going to set aside this broom for sweeping on Shabbos.
No, it's not the broom problem. It's the dirt problem.
Well, let's assume, but. Those who say there's no dirt problem, you know, if they take the position it's moot there because it's not Pesach Risha and it's not intentional. So, but then you have the muksa problem.
But of the dirt, not of the broom. The broom, setting aside the broom won't help you if the problem is the dirt.
You mean if the dirt itself is muksa?
The dirt itself is muksa.
Oh, I see. I thought the problem
no,
was
no, no,
the
no. No, if the broom was muksa, you could distinguish between brooms, but the dirt is muksa.
Right.
And that's the problem with those, right? Okay. So he introduces that.
Dirt is muksa?
Well, that right. So the Ron, right? So the Ron said it's not. Yeah, the dirt,
yeah.
Right? So remember, the Ron said there's no muksa problem on the dirt because it's tiltul menatzad. Tosfos says that the dirt is a problem as well. Okay, fine.
Well, how do you walk on the dirt then?
No, that's a problem.
Okay.
You're not doing it intentionally.
Even
that's unintentional.
Smoothing it out.
That's totally unintentional. You're just walking. You're not doing anything. You know,
you could not walk on it.
No, you can't. Where exactly are you going to walk? Everyone has to
walk. Don't go away.
Okay. Fine.
Well,
so
no
the...
like a car ride.
No, no wonder it's so complicated because you've got all these issues.
Well, yes.
Because the cars don't make sense.
Yes. Now, watch it get even more complicated.
That was on tape. Be careful what you say.
I mean, they don't make sense in a sense that
it's simple.
Now it gets worse. The Agur in Dalid says, Ha'agur causes your other zal, Haya Oser Akibud, Amnam Hitler Lachavid Bebeged Obematlis. His father used to forbid sweeping, but allow you to, you know, sort of brush the floor down with a cloth. Velo Yadana Maishra. And the Beis Yosef now comments, I don't even know what that means. I just don't even, that doesn't even process. Like, I just don't understand where you got that, right?
He's got a long coat and kind of...
Exactly. You know, whatever. It's a shmata. You know, he lets you, whatever. He's my shah. I don't understand. If the problem is mukta, or mashvegumot, I don't care what it is, right? That my shah, harezu made it up from komo, v'gam mashvegumos, right? If the problem is mukta, it's still muksa. If the problem is smoothing out the floor, you're smoothing out the floor. Okay. Shemechavid veget, kemosh mechavid machvedos. Now, you could use the ugger, of course, to solve the problems and say that one Gemara is talking about a broom and one is talking about a cloth. But as the basis is, I don't even know what that's based on. Like, I don't even know where that comes from, but fine. The cause of a sefer truma, the truth of a truma said, Dilaram beis mutter, afilu b'bayas she'ena marutzav, l'chavid asr, afilu b'bayas marutzav. Right, he just says that, you know, this wetting of the floor is mutter even in an untiled floor, and sweeping is usher even on a tiled floor. Fine.
It seems the Ugger's father holds that the mutter relates to the broom, not the yurt.
Well, maybe, right? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's as far as that he thinks that the mukta is about the broom. Maybe,
right.
And therefore cloth is not because the cloth is. But then again, why is a broom mukta? I don't, you know, a broom's a broom. I find it very strange, right? Mukta is only something that has no use. It has a use. You know, it's a broom. I don't know. Okay, maybe that's what he holds.
Maybe it's like a branch or something.
Fine. Rashi, hey, Rashi calls it parakol akelim, de also lechavez abayas mishum ashriye gumos, de modir shema b'sik resha v'lo yamos. Rashi makes it more complicated. Rashi says, you know, it is usher to sweep. You know why? Because we think that it's psik resha. right? Rashi says it's very simple. How do you solve the problem? The Gemara in Shabbos Tadihei thought that we don't think it's a psik resha, right? But that's wrong. We do think it's a psik resha. We paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in the Gemara. I mean, we assume it's a psik resha. That would solve the problem, because that would mean that the Gemara in Shabbos, Chavdal, and Gemara in Beitza are assuming like Rabbi Eliezer. That's why it's usher. Right? The reason the Chachamim say it's usher is because, not because of what the Rif said, that it's Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't mean the Rabbanan, but because of what Rabbi Eliezer said, that it doesn't mean the Oraisa. Okay. Again, conceptually, it sort of works. Textually, it's even weirder than the Rif read of the Gemara. Rabbi Lamazul Fidvarav Efshardain Asr Lechabed Elokchan Marusav. Now, if it's a problem of Psik Resha, he notes, however, it's obviously, it seems to only be usher if it's a non tiled floor. Aval Bimarusav Shari. Right, meaning mitoch chumrasa atal balakulasa. Right, if the only problem is because of psik resha, it's only a problem when it's a psik resha. Right, if it's a tiled floor or a wooden floor, or whatever, it's obviously mutar.
Yeah, well,
right, and that's exactly what he said. Right, which is right. I mean, he will. I mean, a lot of people will hold it the same way, but for different reasons. He says, and therefore, kaven the lesbim mishum mishvui gumos chazin damim or shari lezil chamam mechozav lo gazav rutsav atshen rutsav. Said that's a Rambam. That's the Rambam as well. Number 6. Aval Rabbeinu Kasav Shari Asar Akibud Bechol Makom. The time of... Now, so far, according to...
Who's Rabbeinu?
The Tur, right? So the basis of the comment on the Tur. So what do we have so far? We have Rashi and the Rif, who think that the only issues in the Gemara are the Isar D'Oraisa of Mashve Gumot. They just solve the problems in different ways. Right, Rashi just thinks the conclusion of lahalacha is that it's usher midoraita because it's a psik resha. The Gemara in Shabbos assumes it's not a psik resha. The Gemara in Beitza assumes it is. The Gemara in Shabbos Kol Chavdal assumes it is, and we paskin against the Gemara in Shabbos Tadihei. Right, conceptually it's smooth. Textually it's a bit difficult. The Rif also conceptually smooth. The only issue is Mashar Gumos. We paskin, but he paskins a kula, not lachomra. Right, that it's mutter because we hold it not psik resha, and it's not even, right, and we pass in the group Shimon. Tosvos introduces the notion of mukta, which is a bit textually problematic in the Gemara and Shabbos because it doesn't mention mukta at all, right? Shabbos Sadihei, but okay. We have a bit of distinctions in terms of exactly what you're doing. But according to any of these shitos, it should only be usur if there is dirt, right? Meaning if you think it's a psik resha issue, or a Zavashem Eskaven issue of Mashva Gumos, it needs to have dirt. And if you think that it's about mukta of the dirt, then there's got to be dirt. Right? So the Tur had said, but the Re holds, not only is it usur on a dirt floor, it's usur on a tile on the floor. So the Beis Yosef says, so where do we even get to that? I mean, I understand. The Rif and Rashi think the only factor is Mashva Gumos. Tosfos thinks that there's also an issue of mukta. All those shitas should only be a problem when there is dirt. How did you get possibly out of the sugya that you can't sweep a tiled floor? It's not mukta, it's not mashu gumos, it's not anything.
Okay, but then the Rambam say, not about sweeping, but about using liquid, that he made a gzera between...
And that is the last possibility. So we already started to see...
Why is it not mukta on the tiled floor?
Because there's, it's not, that's not like cake dirt. That's like, you know, because you're not, you know, that's not mukta. Like, whatever, those little crumbs, that's like nothing, right? The assumption is that it's only like, you know, your dirt floor, you're like moving mounds of dirt. Like, that's, you know, something. Crumbs, whatever, crumbs, you know. They might not even be mukta, right? You could feed them to your dog, whatever. It's the dirt part that's coming up. So, but why would you say it's osur? So, as Howie notes, well, that was what we already saw, is, the only way to say it's usher, even on a not dirt floor, is if you introduce yet another level of complexity, which is a gzera, okay. Because you might do this on a dirt floor. And that's the re. So, vav, avar rabbeinu, kasav shiri, asar kibbut b'chol makom, the time of the merutz of nami, asar demishum, sorry, two possibilities. One is a gzera. Two is to deny that a tiled floor doesn't have mashva gumos. So, the re, the way Beis Yosef says it, takes that position. Rabbeinu Kazav Shari Asar Hakibud b'chol makom. The time in roots of nami also mishum dim roots of nami yikam mishum ashvu yigumot bein arov din ogzera atu makom she'eno. So he brings two possibilities. Either it's just ogzera, like how he said, or you think there's no dirt on your tiled floors, right? What about between the tiles? Right, between the tiles, there is dirt. And you're mashma gumos between the tiles, right? So you have the riff and rash, you think this only functions on the plane of mashma gumos, and therefore it's clearly not a problem on tiles. You have Tosvos, who introduces the problem of mukta, but again, it's only a problem where there's, you know, dirt and not tiles. Then you have the Ri, who says it's also even on tile floors. So that's one of two possibilities. Either it's a mitzvah's claim, right, that even on tiled floors there are going to be spaces without a tile and there's going to be dirt and you're going to end up smoothing out the dirt, and therefore it's either a problem of mukta or of mashve gumot. Or it's a gzera of eina merutzav atar, I'm sorry, merutzav atar eina merutzav, of a tiled floor. You can't sweep a tiled floor because you might sweep on an untiled floor. Now, according to the Rif and the Ramban and Rashi and the Rashba, and the Rambam and the Agur, all those people, right? Halacha l'maisa, there should be, whatever you think, if you have a dirt floor, our floors, this is just not a relevant category, because we have tiled or wood floors. According to the Re, it wouldn't make a difference. Even our floors, presumably, would be usher to sweep, because there's a gezeira that was instituted of Merutzav atu she'eno merutzav.
Yeah. And even though that's not applicable, that nobody has dirt floors.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering if the Re would even.
What we'll see is the Mishnah Brura will suggest that even according to the Re,
right,
maybe there's only a gzeira, eino merutzav, merutzav, atar eino merutzav, in a society where people have dirt floors. But if everybody doesn't have dirt floors, then even the Re would be Moda. So that's why, we'll see, that is going to be the conclusion of Mishnah Brura, right? And if you look at, like, the Shmir Shabbat, you know, the grade book, right, Ribiyat, he says, the Gemara says it's usher to sweep floors for a whole host of reasons. Nowadays, everyone says you're allowed to sweep your floors, right? So we'll see that basically every posting is going to say in the end of the day that you can sweep our floors. But as you see, according to the Rif, the Rajba, the Ramban, the Rashi, all those people, in a Hanami, there should be no problem to sweep our floors. But according to the Re, which the Torah says was the Minag and Ashkenaz, right? So then it would be usher to sweep even our floors, at least if you take the second read of the Re, that introduced not just Mukta, not just Mashve Gumot, but Gzera Atu, that you might sweep on a dirt floor, right?
What about the issue, they say it's permitted, what about the issue of Mukta? How do they address that?
Well, our floor, the assumption that they're going to have is that the Mukta is only caked up dirt.
Right. And we don't have that normally. Just,
correct.
Just crumbs.
But that's going to be number Zion, okay, is going to be the Ravid's discussion. The Beis Yosef, see, when I organize Makara, sometimes it's not in a logical order. Here I just gave you the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef just, you know, brings you step by step. And as we'll see, but I think we're going to have to stop because I want to get the Mara up. Yeah. Is that the Ran will quote the Rif, or the Ravid rather, that will address not just the problem of Mukta of the dirt, but the possibility of Mukta on the things on the, well, you know, let's look at the first line just to see that this is going to be the last factor which will come in, is that the Ravid says, Shemad Hidzel Chabad Abai is Dav Kavayshin is Chabad Mer of Shabbos. Lo Novo Lo Shabbos Lo Klupe Gozim Lo Klipe Rimonim Lo Kol Dav Shasro Lo Talplo. Elisho Who wrote to the Chabdom Mishum Peirurim. Zer Shapolim Vahadashim Matzamos Shemru Lo Meichel Behema. The Ravid says there is a Mukta problem, and therefore everyone will say it's only Mutter to sweep if you have either you clean the floor before Shabbos, and there aren't, like, peels on the floor. Sweeping for crumbs, he says, is fine, because crumbs are halakhically not significant, and, right, you know, and whatever, and they're edible. Shein Meruch Urim Michael Adam. Avalo Miskabe Merav Shabbos, but if you didn't sweep before Shabbos, Afilu Einsham Lo Klipe Egozim Lo Klipe Ramonim, Afilu Tzror came in the after Vayezul Gumos Oster. The Ravid will say he's going to mix things, but I want to come back to it. But on the Mukta level, he says that maybe there is a Mukta problem. So far, no one has suggested that sweeping up what's under the table is a Mukta problem. The Mukta problem is the dirt. The Ravid introduces the possibility that, no, there's a problem sweeping on Shabbos, that halacha, the only thing you're allowed to sweep is like crumbs. but not like actual pieces, which are going to be moksa. So we're going to come back to that, and then we'll see Aleph Lameisa next week. After this is somewhat smooth sailing, because it's just to bring you down Aleph Lameisa. Okay.